From the Korea Economic Institute in Washington, D.C., you're listening to Korean Context, news and analysis from the Korean Peninsula. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Korean Context. I'm your host, Jenna Gibson. This week, representatives from both the United States and South Korea sat down for the second round of talks about the Korea-U.S. FTA, also known as the CORUS FTA. The Trump administration had said that they wanted to renegotiate that agreement, and at one point it even mentioned the idea of a withdrawal. But the two sides are now sitting down and talking to each other about what can be done to improve some of the things that the Trump administration wants to change about the U.S.-Korea trade balance. Now, as many of you know, KEI follows this issue very closely. We've talked a lot about CORUS and all the benefits that it has brought to the United States. But here today, we have one person who has directly benefited from the CORUS FTA and from Korea-U.S. trade in general. Today's guest is Sam Cho, who is the founder of Seven Seas Export, a company founded just this year that actually exports American egg products to South Korea. So he has a direct knowledge of the trade between these two countries and how important it is to keep that trade open and free. So Sam, I really want to thank you for your time and for talking to us about your business and about your experiences.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This is a great honor.
So can you start off just a basic introduction of you, your company? How did you get into the egg export business?
Yeah. So my name is Sam Cho. I am the founder and CEO of Seven Seas Export. We export right now primarily egg products from the U.S. to South Korea. And how we got into the market was back in November of last year, there was a very bad outbreak of avian influenza, which is more commonly known as bird flu. And it was, you know, characterized as the worst bird flu outbreak in the history of Korea, in essence. And so what happened was they culled, or, you know, they slaughtered all these flocks, the millions of chickens, as a precautionary measure. And what resulted out of that was a huge shortage of eggs. And so in order to help stem the crisis, the Korean government lowered tariff rates for egg products to 0%. And so that's kind of what opened the door to egg products in South Korea. And when I saw that opportunity, I kind of jumped on it, and I knew that there could be an arbitrage opportunity when it comes to prices, because I knew that from my research that U.S. egg prices were cheaper in general than Korean egg prices. And so that's kind of when I jumped on to it, and it's been pretty successful. I've been able to take a huge market share, and also I think, you know, Seven Seas Export is probably the single largest exporter of eggs from the U.S., so unofficially. So that's how we got started, yeah.
That's really awesome. Are there other products that you were exporting before?
Eggs were the first things, item that we started exporting. I got the idea when I was in Korea for Christmas, actually, that year. And I saw how expensive eggs were there because of the shortage. And so that's when I got the idea. And then, you know, I worked in the Obama administration. And when the administration ended, a lot of us Obama people were out of the job. And so instead of, you know, going to apply for jobs out of, you know, being sheer desperate for income, I decided I'd take this opportunity to start my own venture and kind of see how it goes. And so right now we do eggs, and we're currently working on a few other products that hopefully there's enough demand in Korea for.
How has been the response so far? Is it popular, the American egg products?
Yeah, so actually a lot of people don't even know that they're eating American egg products. So our business model is very different. A lot of people think that we export just shelled eggs. And actually, I don't export shelled eggs. I export frozen whole eggs, frozen egg yolks, and frozen egg whites, as well as some dried egg products. And the reason I chose to do that was because, you know, Koreans consume a lot of food products with eggs as a main ingredient. You know, bread is just one example of a huge consumer good. Koreans love their snacks, and, you know, and a lot of their staples in terms of food have egg in it. And so when I started, you know, exporting, I intentionally targeted companies and businesses that use eggs as an ingredient in their food production, as opposed to, you know, the typical B2C, the business to consumer market. And that turned out to be a very smart, you know, business move, because those bakeries and food chains use more volume of eggs than any other. You know, one household might use, you know, a carton of eggs every 2 weeks, you know, but a bakery will use thousands of pounds a day. And so, in order to scale the business and make sure that, you know, it was worth doing, you know, just a sheer volume standpoint, it was a smarter move to just go B2B, business to business, as opposed to straight to the consumer. So, yeah, I mean, most people don't know that their bread is made out of American eggs, but generally, I've not heard any complaints so far. So, it's a good sign. Yeah.
And I know, having spent time in Korea, how much they love the bakeries.
Oh, absolutely.
It's everywhere.
Yeah,
so that's,
absolutely.
That's great.
Yeah, yeah.
You mentioned the avian influenza outbreak, yeah, and how that kind of helped you get into the market. So, what is the status with that now? And are you working on a strategy for, you know, when that outbreak is over and there are more Korean eggs in the market, how are you going to keep?
So there was an outbreak. The last outbreak of avian influenza was in the spring. I think it was around March or April. And as a result, the Korean government extended the tariff reductions through the end of the year. And so, you know, there hasn't been an outbreak since spring. The problem is that, you know, the reason bird flu, you know, is a reoccurring problem is that when the seasons change from summer to winter, or, you know, or fall to winter, birds migrate, you know. And Korea has the unfortunate luck of being in the path of birds migrating. And so these flocks from China and other parts of Northern Asia, they mingle and they, you know, mix with domestic chickens and birds. And that's how it gets transmitted. And, you know, obviously, you know, there's very little you can do to control that. You can't change the season. You can't control the weather. I mean, maybe you can, but you can't control the seasons. And you can't, like, build a wall to keep birds out. And so this is an issue that's expected to flare up every year. And so bird flu will be a recurring issue. I mean, we're expecting it to hit Korea again this winter. The question is, you know, to what severity do these, you know, outbreaks happen? But it will continue to be an issue, and I think past, you know, even December of this year, we'll see continued, you know, issues with domestic chicken farmers not being able to supply enough eggs. But, I mean, aside from that, we are trying to figure out ways to get around, you know, the tariff. And so, you know, right now the tariff rate is at zero, but past December, it'll go back up to its normal tariff schedule based on the FTA. And so part of our strategy is to try to keep a high inventory before that tariff rate goes up, so that once the tariff rate goes back up, it actually serves as a protecting barrier for us, because no one else can export at that point. But we already have a stockpile in Korea that we can sell at a discounted price because we don't have to pay those tariffs. And so that's kind of the strategy we're thinking about. And we'll see if it works out. We'll see, you know, how much we can get out there and stuff like that. So, yeah.
So since you mentioned the FTA, it sounds like, I mean, can you give us a little bit of an idea? It sounds like that's not necessarily.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, well, first of all, I guess with regards to Chorus, I just want to preface this by saying I think Chorus is one of the most mischaracterized and misused free trade agreements out there. I mean, as you know, Chorus was used as a scapegoat to basically argue against the Trans-Pacific Partnership in many ways, right? TPP, you know, everyone would say, oh, just look at Chorus, right? That's why we shouldn't have TPP. And I think that's a huge mischaracterizing and just straight up misunderstanding of what Chorus has done. For me, the Korea-U.S. Free Trade Agreement essentially has lowered the tariff rates for egg and poultry exports to Korea. Before Chorus, I believe the egg tariff was around 40%. So whatever value I export from the U.S. to Korea, my buyer has to pay a 40% tax on that, which is tremendous. That's huge. That's pretty much half the value of the product. Under Chorus, the tariff schedule has now reduced the tariff rate to 24% as of this year. I think it's between 24 and 25%, which is still pretty high, but it's still, that's 15% less than the 40% it was before Chorus. Mm-hmm. there's definitely, you know, positives and really good things. You know, I would say you're right. The bird flap break is what allowed me to export, and the 0% tariff rate that the Korean government implemented as a result of the bird flu is what allowed me to export initially. But if we didn't have quartz at all, exporting eggs to Korea would not even be a possibility, right? Like, we just can't compete in terms of price. My competitors are just, you know, they're from Australia, New Zealand, Thailand, and Europe, right? All countries that have free trade agreements with Korea, right? And so, and they're all, and some of them are much closer to Korea. So the transit time is shorter. So we need every advantage we get. And Chorus has been a huge part of that.
So building off of that, from your experience running a trade business, but then also looking a little bit 10,000 feet, because I know you've worked on trade as well. So
sure, absolutely. So, you know, I think there's been a lot of talk about renegotiating, but also I think Trump has even, you know, said he wants to pull out altogether. And I think that would be devastating, right? I think it's important to understand the context on a macroeconomic level, on a 10,000, as you said, the 10,000 feet level. Korea, as a country alone, has probably one of the most extensive and robust free trade networks in the world, right? They have an FTA with all the major players, European Union, ASEAN. They even have one with China, right? And so for us to even think about pulling out of the FTA and allowing all these other countries to basically take that market share that we've fought so hard for, it's just a dumb move, right? Now, as far as renegotiation is concerned, I think that there's a lot of complaints that people have about Chorus, and some of them are very, you know, they're founded and warranted. And so, you know, as far as renegotiation, I think there's room for that. I think there's, if things can be improved, there's room for that. But a complete pullout, like I said before, tariff rates would go back up to 40% for my products, and I would not be able to export, right? And that means all the farms, you know, since March until now, I've exported 1.5 million pounds of eggs, right? That's 1.5 million pounds of eggs that American farmers have nowhere to, you know, place. And so pulling out would be devastating. Renegotiations would be, you know, it depends on what they renegotiate on, obviously, but I think, you know, there's potential there.
So speaking of, if there were to be a renegotiation,
I think there's two suggestions. One is kind of on the actual renegotiation side. And it's that, like I just mentioned, Korea has a very extensive free trade network. And as a result, U.S. exporters are competing against exporters from all over the world. The advantage that the U.S. can possibly renegotiate for us is to renegotiate for more aggressive tariff schedules, right? So I mentioned that before Chorus, egg tariffs were around 40%. And now they're down to 24-25%. If the Trump administration is serious about renegotiating this agreement to benefit U.S. farmers or U.S., you know, exporters, the renegotiation should happen probably on the tariff schedule. What I mean by that is having reductions on tariffs at a faster rate. And that will give us an advantage when comparing those tariff schedules of other free trade agreements that Korea might have. The Korea-European Union free trade agreement, the Korea-New Zealand, you know, all these free trade agreements that they already have also tariff schedules, obviously. And they go down, you know, these tariffs go down a certain percentage every year. And if the U.S. can renegotiate those tariffs, you know, to go down every year at a higher increment, or you know, or even maybe negotiate it so some tariffs go away altogether immediately, you know, I that's doubtful, but renegotiating tariff rates to a more aggressive schedule would be very helpful. And then I guess the second thing is, I think we just could do more here in the U.S. domestically. I think that there is a general lack of know-how and also just awareness of Korea as a market. When I started exporting eggs to Korea, the only reason egg farmers knew of Korea as an export market was because of this bird flu outbreak. A lot of these farmers don't even know there's a free trade agreement with Korea and that this is even a possibility. Right? I can't even imagine how this might be for beef or pork, you know, frozen beef or frozen pork. So I think the United States government, you know, whether it be the Department of Commerce or, you know, can do more in promoting free trade agreements. I think the rhetoric towards free trade has become so negative that there's just like this collective effort to promote exports has just died. And so for a lot of these farmers who are looking for new markets or new customers or new clients to export to, they just don't know that, hey, there's this country called South Korea that uses a lot of, that eats a lot of meat, right? Like Korean barbecue is pretty popular here. And there's, you know, a lot of consumption of eggs and, you know, they eat a lot of rice, right? And so I think, you know, a general awareness of that this is a possibility, and also just the know-how, right? You know, trade isn't as seamless as a lot of people think. There's a lot of procedures, inspections, certifications that need to happen in order for one to export to another country, right? You have to deal with both exporting from the U.S., but also the customs and import laws of that country. And a lot of times the barrier is, I don't want to deal with the bureaucracy of going through Korean customs, right? And, you know, and dealing with whatever it is I need to get through at, you know, customs in Korea. And so a lot of those things I think can be helped if the government steps in and facilitates that transaction and helps say, hey, these are the forms you need. This is what is allowed. This is what is not allowed. Stuff like that, right? And when I started this business, I knew nothing. And I went through a few trial and errors. Like my first shipment of eggs, I had to throw out because I had not met a customs requirement. I literally just tossed thousands of pounds of eggs because there was this really very, very specific detail that I had missed. They wouldn't let me bring it in. And so, you know, it's a process. But if we can help smooth those processes out, I think that the market is there and a lot of U.S. exporters can benefit from that. So those are the two things I think I would suggest.
Yeah, that's really great. I'm glad you mentioned beef and pork because that's one big thing that as KEI we've been paying a lot of attention
absolutely.
To.
Absolutely.
You know, like the exports from the U.S. of meat products have gone up exponentially since CORS went into effect. So
yeah, the market is huge for meat, frozen meat products, both pork, poultry, and beef, and so. It's one of the things we're actually looking into to see if we can help facilitate. So yeah, it's there. People just need to be aware and just know how to execute.
And be willing to have those trial and error moments.
Exactly.
And not give up.
Exactly. Yep.
I'm really interested in all the stuff you're doing. I want to give you a chance if there's anything else that I haven't asked you or anything else you think it's important for us to know, both about your business, about egg products, about CORS, what is there any closing thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think just in general that I think I was lucky that I worked for an administration that was pro-trade in many ways, right? You know, President Obama was the one who pushed and implemented CORS, and he was the one who basically pushed for TPP, and in many ways against the grain of the Democratic will. I really wish that the debate and discussion surrounding trade was more intelligent in some ways, in many ways. It's not as black and white. Everyone likes to talk about trade deficits and how we export less than they export to us and all this stuff. But we never talk about services and how we have a tremendous surplus of services with Korea. We never talk about, you know, all these other things that free trade, you know, allows us to do. You know, even on immigration and, you know, work visas, all these things that are, you know, free trade agreements are very multifaceted and they're very advanced today. And so I really wish that, you know, the work that KEI does is obviously very important because you guys help promote these discussions and debates. And I certainly hope that, you know, as I continue this business and I continue to be in the trade industry, that I can, you know, help facilitate some of those discussions.
Okay, great. Well, thank you again for all your time, for your insights, and good luck with your business.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
That's all for this episode of Korean Context. I hope you enjoyed our conversation. As always, please subscribe and like our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll see you here again next week for another episode.